I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Oftentimes when people come across content from Black people, they assume that it's only for Black people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I find it so interesting because
sisterhood is something that evolves, and sisterhood is something that is changing in response to the realities that many of us are living, yeah, right?
Actually, I want to radically support women, and radically supporting women doesn't necessarily mean agreement, it doesn't mean sameness, but it does mean listening and it does mean empathy.
Mm-hmm. The first agenda when it comes to sisterhood is love.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to the Two My Sisters podcast. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Renee, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the Two My Sisters podcast.
We are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters around the world.
And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about sisterhood without borders.
Ooh.
Interracial friendships, religious diversity. Can these coexist in friendship?
Oh, I love that.
I know. It's like a topic we have never talked about on the podcast before, but super, super necessary. Yeah. So I'm super excited about this conversation.
Ooh, it's going to be good.
But before we get into it, do we have any housekeeping announcements?
So at this point, as you listen to this episode, the TMS live show is behind us. But as you can tell, we don't look like who have had a live show.
No.
because we're recording this in advance.
Yeah.
We're currently resting for a little bit. So hopefully the live show went well. Follow us on socials to see a recap of everything that happened on Friday. Insane times.
And we just want to say thank you in advance to everybody that has poured into this community. Guys, like, as much as we are the forerunners and the faces of Two My Sisters would literally not be Two My Sisters without our sisters. So thank you everyone that has shared. Thank you everybody that bought a ticket.
Big love.
Thank you everybody that has invested in us in some capacity, whether it is you're a regular listener, you just started listening, you've come with us on any of our retreats, to those of you that have come to our live shows, to our friends, our families, our sponsors, we just want to say thank you. We are so in awe of the fact that we are able to pull off a show where over 1,000 people were in attendance. Like, isn't that insane?
For real. Anyway, hopefully we pulled it off, Sha.
Yeah, hopefully.
We have faith in Christ.
We have faith. In retrospect, you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah, the God that we serve. So sisters, thank you. Yeah, thank you honestly, so much. And you can continue to support TMS by purchasing our book.
Yes, TMS. To My Sisters, A Guide to Building Lifelong Friendships, our book. Get it on Amazon. It's been released internationally now. Like, I know we didn't make a big deal about it, but our book released in the States a couple months ago. So genuinely, sisters, thank you for making all of this stuff possible. Honestly. 2023 has been a roller coaster of a year for us. And we just appreciate you so much for all the opportunities you allow for us to pursue. And our book being one of them, like, crazy to think that we were able to put this thing out there where we talked about very similar things we're about to talk about in this episode, actually, about the practical elements of sisterhood and how you can be a sister as a verb, right? And so honestly, thank you. Definitely read it. The girls are loving it. Still hear so many people talk about it till now, obviously, because it's still quite new. And also, there is going to be some exciting news, very exciting news around our book coming shortly. So it feels like at TMS, there's always something.
It's all happening, mate.
There's always something.
You got to get plugged in.
But yeah, get it on Amazon. We will have all the links down below for you. Get it on Amazon. Get it on Audible. Get a copy in your local bookshop, wherever it may be. And buy one for a sister, actually.
In fact, you should.
Yeah.
Get one for a sister. Buy one for a sister. But sisters, thank you to those of you that have bought the book already. We are so happy to hear that you guys are enjoying it. And if you have enjoyed it, but you haven't expressed it and you're looking for an outlet, you should go to Amazon and leave us a review. Yes, it really, really helps us with amplifying our work over at To My Sisters. Yeah. So if you have read the book or listened to the podcast and enjoyed it, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify. Support us. Let's get it going.
Yeah.
I think that's the only housekeeping announcement for now. The house is swept. So without further ado, a sister is in fact in need of support.
Let's go.
So we shall move into the ding, ding, ding.
dilemma.
Oh, I tell a lie. Before we get into the dilemma, mm-hmm. I actually have a note that I wanted to share with you, Miss Courtney.
Let's do it.
Hey, sisters.
Hey, my love.
Not a dilemma here.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say thank you for your last message on financial health and well-being.
Awesome.
I live abroad in the US for uni at the moment, and I've been feeling so disappointed by how my financial journey has been going. Mm. I regularly have to call my parents and ask for help with things as I'm figuring out how to be an adult. Thank you for reminding me that it's okay for me to ask for help and that it's okay for me to stumble and fail as I try to find my way. Mm. Your words healed me and freed me from the expectations I've had for myself.
Whoa. Best assistant. Stop it. Oh,
I thought I would add that. I thought very it was cute.
Yeah, no, the honor is all ours, and that's all we ever want to do with like any advice or any content that we create, just help you to realize that you're not alone, and mm-hmm. a lot of what we're facing is actually very, very normal.
Absolutely.
And so yeah, all the best as you go about studying, girl. You're young, take the pressure off yourself.
100% And we love that for you, sis. And
for real,
it's so important to do everything at your own yes. pace and make use of those resources whilst you still have them. Exactly. Shall But moving on to another sister that does need help.
Okay.
Hello, sisters.
Hello, sis.
And get strapped in. This one is a little lengthy.
Okay.
Firstly, I want to warmly thank you for all of the work you put into continuing to serve insightful content back to back. You have helped me navigate different seasons of my life, from moving continents from wow. Asia to Europe, wow. where I knew nobody in the country. On days I felt alone, I would binge your episodes and sometimes repeat to fully get the nuggets. I am grateful to be part of this movement. You both are such an inspiration to me and a force I truly reckon with. Much love, prayers, and strength.
Oh, stop it.
I know. It's oh, guys, you don't understand. It's guys. Warming our hearts. It's warming our hearts. Please send us more thank you notes. We love it.
Oh, you're welcome.
So my dilemma goes as follows. I am in a long distance relationship, which began earlier this year. Mm-hmm. We are both in our early 20s and we love God. We also have known each other since childhood. Nice. As far as agreeing and having conversations is concerned, I believe we're on the right track. Mm. But I asked him one day about accountability, of which he told me he has never had a person whom he is accountable to, mm-hmm. except his parents and God. Mm-hmm. I then told him I'm asking because I want to know if there are people I can meet that I know you honor in that way and they are committed to your growth. Mm. So even when I want to understand or navigate some things, I can approach them for yeah. a wider perspective of you. And he said no. His reason was he doesn't like people knowing his business and he doesn't always want them to know, which I fully respect.
Yeah.
He has expressed from the beginning his intentions that after graduating master's, his plans are towards marriage with me. Mm-hmm. My fear is that when we need intervention and actually just accountability, nice. Where will we go together? Yeah. Not me going to tell on him. I have been living away from home for years, but I do have accountability and mentors that guide me. Nice. He, on the other hand, has had so much support. I even considered some people his mentors or accountability, and he said no. So I feel like that part has a potential of making me feel somehow. Mm-hmm. Is it that many gents don't have accountability usually, or maybe I should give him more time? I know it's an integral part for me. And so I want yeah. to understand from your perspective, outside looking in. Help mm-hmm. a dear sister. Thank you in advance.
Oh, this is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, from the outside looking in, obviously we don't have all of the facts. Mm-hmm. And we say this with every dilemma. So take our advice with a pinch of salt. I have noticed in my life talking to men mm-hmm. That sometimes they don't have that same level of community, accountability, or people in positions of authority who they've, you know, willingly placed there in their life. Mm-hmm. And this is for so many different dynamics, but especially surrounding masculinity, there is often a glorification of answering to no one, right. being your own man. No one can rein you in. You just, you know, kind of operate life based on your own navigation. And I think that level of independence or pride is often called male ego. Mm-hmm. And let's call it that. I do think what you need to bear in mind is, whilst that may be common, if this is a standard and an expectation for you, it should still be something you should ask him to create in mm-hmm. his life. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is you want accountability for the future proofing of your marriage, which is actually a benefit to him as well as you. And so if you want wise counsel, you need wise counsel, which is not just invested in you, but also has an equal investment in him by him knowing that that's the dynamic that he's in with these people, right? They're there to hold him or you both accountable. And I think sometimes when you suggest accountability to someone, they can sometimes, especially if they're not open to it, they can sometimes hear it as you want, like he said, someone to be in our business. You want someone to tell me off when something is going wrong. You don't want to solve issues with me. You want to run to somebody else. And that's not what accountability is. Accountability isn't tattletaling. Do you know what I mean? It's actually you asking for wisdom to be able to navigate through something with people who aren't as emotionally involved as the two parties who are most invested in this situation. And wise counsel is something we're told to seek after all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's something that God even instructs us to do. So him saying he's being held accountable by God, the way God also holds us accountable is through the people he allows us to do life with. And so surrounding yourself with mentors, surrounding yourself with elders, surrounding yourself with even peers who you say, you know what, if you ever see me moving left or you ever want to talk to me about something or just get insight into my life to help me stay on this path, which is already described as narrow and quite hard, then you have that right. That's something that we put in place for ourselves, not just in the area of marriage, but for our advancement and our character in general, right? Yeah. And I do think when you are embarking on doing something as mature and as challenging as marriage, you do need community and accountability now more than ever. And I understand he has his parents, but sometimes you need people who are a bit more unbiased towards you who can hold you accountable in that way. Now, this isn't to say that parents can't be a great source of wisdom and advice, but when it comes to counsel or needing somebody to help in disagreements or help with whatever it is that you both are navigating, sometimes you don't want people who are that close to your business. And I think it's also worth bringing it up to him that, like, actually, no, if you are so concerned about people being all up in your business, let's get a couple third parties who don't know that much about us, but who can actually be wise counsel for us to go to with our issues, to present it in whatever way we want to. We have control as to how much we can disclose. Obviously, with mentorship, the more transparent, the better. But if the case is about privacy, maybe we do need to build, we need to find people who we can start to build a new relationship with, who you feel intimate and close enough with to be able to feel comfortable with that level of transparency. Mm-hmm. And that's something you can both work on together, but it's not necessarily easy with people who know you pre-existingly or have a bias towards loving you even through your bad behavior. And it's not to say he's badly behaved. And again, this is not tattletaling. This is, like I said, putting the necessary structures in place for both of your success. And because this is something which you desire and it is a standard for you, I think it's worth presenting it to him and saying, we can't move forward in this relationship towards marriage if we do not have the structures in place to try and ensure that we have a productive and healthy marriage. Yeah. And one of those big structures or big pillars is mentorship and accountability. And if you don't have accountability, I can't be the only one being held accountable, and I can't be the only one who to provide accountability to this marriage. I can't be the one to hold you accountable. And yes, God holds us accountable, but who is on earth to tell you that you're moving mad or maybe there's a better way to do things? Do you get what I mean? So if this is something that benefits both of us, let's both start putting in the effort to set it up. And if you really are resistant to this, you're going to slow down our progression within this relationship. And I don't think that's actually an unfair thing to do. If he loves you, he will put mentorship in place, right? Because mentorship is no harm to him. It's not this massive sacrifice. Yes, transparency and vulnerability can be hard, but it's not like you're asking him to go and bare his entire soul to somebody he doesn't know. You're asking him to find somebody he trusts, somebody you can trust, and someone who could actually lead you both with wise counsel in certain aspects of your marriage. And so this isn't even having somebody to helicopter lead you. It's not having somebody who's like, how are you guys doing? How often do you have sex? How are you submitting? Are you No. When it comes to mentorship and accountability, there's just this open back and forth and a freedom to ask for help when need be. And both of you can establish the parameters of what accountability looks like to you and make sure that he feels actively involved in that, but make sure he is involved in that point blank period. So yeah, that's what I would say. How about you?
I think you answered that absolutely phenomenally.
Yeah, I don't think you're asking too much to be like, go and get some accountability. Absolutely not. In a world where people are, go and listen to what we're talking about on social media. There's so much influence over our lives. You need someone who can be a good, wise sounding board.
I just don't think you can be a good leader if you don't have anyone that you submit to.
That is leading you.
Exactly. It is necessary for, in order to inform your idea of like submission, you need to be submitted to somebody else. And I think especially because, you know, you prefaced with you both love God. So I'm assuming that you're both Christians. Yeah. I'm assuming that you are Bible believing Christians. And so I'm assuming that you understand that submission is extremely important. I love what you were saying around like, whilst we do submit to God, God also brings us people. Mm. We submit to God through submitting to people. So I think it's very much outlining the importance or even studying the importance of accountability and submission as part of your work towards marriage or your work towards the end goal for your relationship. And I think, again, highlighting the fact that you have a fantastic, phenomenal community around you. Framing it as a positive, it's very much a reinforcement as opposed to this is something that's missing from your life, may also land better. I've definitely noticed a trend where quite a few men actively do not have anybody to submit to. Yeah. Even when we think about just in a lot of faith-based communities, right? We see the predominant folks that are going to a lot of these communities are women. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a very big missing piece. And it's such a shame that a lot of masculinity is informed by the lack of adherence to or the lack of submission to another person as it pertains to masculinity. Because the thing is, if you don't actively outline somebody as your accountability or your leader, you'll be led by other things. So it's not that, you know, you can be led by no one. Everybody has something that is leading them or someone that is leading them. There is always
submitted to.
Exactly. Everybody is submitted to something. It's very much about ascertaining what or who are you submitted to and really thinking about, okay, if I can actively choose who I'm submitted to or what I'm submitted to, let's actually be very, very clear and transparent about that, especially if you are preparing for marriage. Yes. Because girl, you can't be submitted to anybody that's not submitted to allegedly nothing, because that's actually not true. It's just a saying, ego as it were. But it sounds like he's a good guy. It sounds like he's got his priorities in order. It's just a case of the additionality of making sure that you have somebody or some kind of accountability for the both of you. Even approaching it like that, right, it doesn't necessarily have to be just a personal accountability. It can be as we are moving more and more into marriage, I would feel comfortable if we did have a older couple to submit to, or like somebody within your parameter, within proximity to you, that you can look to for that advice, for that counseling. Both of you love God. I'm assuming both of you go to church. If not, go to church. If when you go to church, create relationships with the people that are around you, maybe even the local pastors at your church. That could be a form of submission too, right? The actively going to church, the actively submitting to that leadership, pursuing maybe counseling or pursuing maybe those kind of relationship activities with those folks is also a really good way in. And it's also low stakes in that you're creating a relationship within the confines and within the context of your beliefs. And that makes a whole bunch of sense. But I do think, especially for men, as much as the world can often tell us that men have no leaders, they must have leaders in order to be good leaders. Yeah. And I think for him to be a good, not even good, a great and Christ-like leader, he needs to know how to serve. Mm-hmm. And the best way to serve is to actually submit.
Yeah, that's good.
I really, really think that if you can implore this man, it's not just going to be one discussion.
I think it's understanding
that this may be a process of like convincing him, you know, and talking to him about what is his idea of like submission. Yeah. How does he see submission and accountability even between you two as a future married couple, and having a wider conversations, plural, about what that might look like moving forward. I love what you were saying about future proof in your marriage. It's a form of preparation.
100%.
We need community. We can't do relationships. Look, that whole me and you, babe, against the world.
You need a system, baby.
You need a system. You need people in place to check you, because sometimes you'll be doing me and you against the world, and it's actually you two against the world, like literally. And you will need somebody to intervene. And it's really important to have people that are invested in you and people that care about you, but they're also not biased parties when it comes to marital issues or marital challenges. It's also just nice knowing that within the grander scheme of things, you have people that you can rely on. Mm. When you're thinking about if you want to have children, for example, just like moving forward, it's nice to know that you have people around you that care about you and that can guide you outside of your parents. Yeah. And accountability doesn't always have to be vertical. It can also be horizontal, right? Who are his friends or his other brothers in Christ that he can go to, engage with, that can, you know, support him with his own walk, like really encouraging that, right? What are the bonds that he can make with other men to get that sense of brotherhood going? Not every guy has got to be a lone ranger. In fact, I don't think any guy was born to be a lone ranger, in my personal opinion. So brothers, you know what? This might even be a really good conversation for a future podcast episode with a brother on masculinity and accountability.
Yeah. And brotherhood.
But whilst you are in relationship with this lovely, lovely man, please, please start that journey of thinking about what accountability looks like for both of you in terms of future proofing your marriage.
100%. And also, like, just reminding that this isn't about punishment or somebody who's going to be there to just constantly correct you, right? Exactly. Even though that is a huge part of mentoring and accountability, what you are saying is, I want you to have support, right? Transitioning from being someone's boyfriend to becoming a husband comes with a whole bunch of responsibility, which we can't even like identify with. Do you get what I mean? However, someone who can identify with it is someone who's actually going through it. And so what you also can position to him is, I'm not just asking for you to have somebody there who's going to lord over you, oppress you. That's not what this is. I want somebody who can actually hold you up and who can help you in a very challenging transition and a very challenging and high calling, right? You leading someone else, or even if that's not the dynamic of your relationship, you being in commitment to somebody is a big challenge. And so have somebody who can be there when you may not be feeling as strong and you don't want to admit that to me. Do you get what I mean? I can't be your entire support system in things that I do not understand. And so having someone around you who can actually understand you may be beneficial to you, even in times when you don't want to admit that maybe you have a question or you don't know how to navigate a certain occurrence. And I've had friends in my life who are men who have gone through certain things in marriage and are like, I don't know how to navigate through this, right? And they can't actually rely on their wife, even though they're going through the same thing, because they're a man and she's a woman. And it's a very different perspective. Like, I recently had a friendship couple who had suffered, well, I had a couple in my life who had suffered a loss of a child. And it's like, as from the mother's perspective, that's one thing. From the father's perspective, that's another thing. Together, you're also going through another thing. So him being able to lean on men in his life and be like, have you ever experienced a loss of a child? And how does that affect you as a husband, as a father? That was like, whoa, I can't even advise you. I can't help you on that. Do you know what I mean? And so I think it's important to just have people who can support you and who understand your unique position. And sometimes that's not the person you love most. Sometimes it's the people in your life who you put there for that specific reason.
There is wisdom in the counsel of the multitude.
Facts. And blessed is the person who heeds to it.
There you go.
Honestly.
There you go. So sis and brother, we are praying for you guys. We hope that you are able to amass a circle of good, strong, firm, trustworthy accountability, and we also are just praying towards the success of your relationship. It sounds like you guys are in alignment, and we really hope that you guys can continue to be in alignment and take it to the end, man. But yeah, sis, and of course those of you that are listening in, please drop it like it's hot. We would love to hear from you, especially any of the married folk. Do you guys have accountability? What does that look like for you? Any of the brothers that are secretly listening, you know we adore you. If you have any kind of tips, tricks for our brother as well, please, please, please drop them in the YouTube comments. We would love to and hear them. But moving on to the creme de la creme.
Let's go.
I'm very excited about this conversation because for the life of me, I don't think I've come across many conversations on interracial friendships and friendships that embrace diversity, thinking about religious diversity as well. We often think about it in the romantic, but very rarely in the platonic. So my first question is actually, why is that? Or what are your thoughts around the fact that when we think of celebrating, not even celebrating, but when we think of some of the difficulties that can come from different lines of difference or different just differences in general, why is there more of a, if there is, if you believe there is, why do we often, why does the conversation often pivot around romantic relationships as opposed to spotlighting differences in platonic friendships?
I think it's actually for quite a positive reason, mm-hmm. which diversity and difference within friendship is actually sometimes easier to overcome, mm-hmm. because there's not as close an intimacy as there is with romantic relationships. And it's not necessarily an issue of intimacy, but more so agreement. Mm-hmm. We actually don't need to be on the same page to journey with each other as friends, per mm-hmm. se. Mm-hmm. I think there's a level of agreement and somewhat sameness you need within a romantic relationship to make that level of intimacy, that level of closeness, and that level of partnership actually work. Mm. Whereas in friendship, there's a lesser degree of partnership. As much as there's still intimacy, there's love, there's relationship, there isn't necessarily that partnership that like even exists within like a business relationship, mm. for example. We don't need to be on the same page about absolutely everything. Do you get what I mean? This is more so about compatibility, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. personalities, enjoying each other's company, being able to, you know, converse and enjoy that engagement. But I think with friendship, I mean, with relationship, it's also about like, where do we see ourselves going? What's the vision for our future? What are we trying to build? Are we in agreement with that? Mm. And it's like, friendship, you don't really have all of those conversations, mm-hmm, unless mm-hmm. you decide to take it in a unique direction, like how we have a business partnership and stuff like that. Like, I think with friends, it's more so you're different, I'm different, but there are still so many places we can coexist and mm-hmm. ways we can support each other, which means we don't actually need to be the same in this area, but we can still love each other all the same. Mm-hmm, so I mm-hmm. think it's more so because of that. There's not as much pressure mm. to have to be the same person, mm-hmm. Or have the same views in certain places.
Yeah.
And I think there's different ways to also show up for your friend in a way that doesn't require you to be aligned in that same way and everything. Yeah. So for example, like I think to friends in my life who are, say, like my Muslim sisters, and when they are going through like, you know, fasting periods and stuff, my support for them doesn't necessarily have to be I'm fasting too. Mm. It's more so I'm not gonna invite you out to eat at yeah. this certain yeah. time. Do you get what I mean? Like, I actually understand what it is you're going through, but I don't necessarily need to be that's doing the same thing, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in order for there to be that sister to sister support. Mm-hmm. Or even like with, I remember like one of my sister's friends who was white. My sister's obviously black.
I mean, she might be.
She might be white. Dead. She might actually. She actually might. But she's been on this podcast episode. So yeah, you guys, there you go. She's been black. Revealed. Yeah, she's black. Actually black. But my sister was saying during 2020 and like the Black Lives Matter kind of rise, mm-hmm, and stuff, mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. you know, she's having these really tough conversations with her white best friend at the time, and like someone who she considers a sister. And it's like, we're having these really hard conversations, but it was so beautiful because she doesn't necessarily need to be black to identify with my pain, or mm-hmm. she doesn't necessarily need to be black to acknowledge systematic oppression. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, actually, we can have such great conversation about surrounding our difference, which even breeds intimacy, mm-hmm. And sisterhood in a really, really beautiful way. So I actually think that sometimes that diversity challenges us as people, and it just mm-hmm. brings out something way more beautiful within our friendship capacity, but also our character as people. Mm. How about you?
I love that you touched on the positive first, because I definitely agree. I think there's something quite beautiful about having friends around you that are very different.
100%.
And I love what you're saying around like challenging your thinking and perspective and whatnot, because I definitely have been challenged by a variety of my friends that Same. Are from very different backgrounds. Boy. Like completely. There's been some cookouts I've been invited to and I'm like, you guys live a different life. My Asian sisters, y'all live a different life, but also very similar. I feel like there's certain things, especially my Indian sisters, y'all, the food, chef kiss, but also just in things like some of your experiences and some of your food is great, fantastic. I think I mentioned that already, but it's fantastic. But there's certain experiences that we have and that we share, but equally certain experiences that we don't share. And having the intermix of the both is what brings that authentic flavor to our relationships, which I absolutely adore. So, and I think because traditionally when we look at relationships, it feels almost like for women, the stakes are higher, almost, mm-hmm. quote unquote, right? This whole idea of like, oh, I'm linking myself to, you know, this Someone person else. In this particular way, and therefore I need to make sure that they are pretty much aligned on some of these core values. Whereas with friendships, I think there's a little bit of a, yes, there's the positive element of like, okay, we're not as linked, but I think sometimes there's a I don't want to say undervaluing, but it's kind of like a friendships almost seem a little bit less important.
Yeah, in
some ways.
Especially in the early stages. Like before exactly. you form, if this person is just an acquaintance, there's no pressure there's to no have pressure. To get on.
Exactly. It's more of a, oh, you're an acquaintance or you're somebody that's yeah. within my community. Of course, you can be very different.
Yeah. Whereas with dating, you kind of find yourself intimacy meeting someone straight new away. And then you're trying to make
not
it
straight
work.
Exactly. Yeah. Not straight away, but like...
You're trying to force it into something.
Yeah, you're trying to manufacture or yeah. rather create that kind of romantic experience pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Interesting. So in terms of us being a very multicultural and diverse sisterhood.
We love it.
Shout out to all of our sisters. Our sisters from all religions, yeah. no religion, sisters from, you know, all places, all walks of life.
Regions. We're a global sisters.
We're a global sisterhood. The reality of the situation is both of us are Black.
We are. What a shock. What? I'm not Black, am I?
Don't start that nonsense.
Wait a minute.
Hang on.
I'm Black?
You're Black. You are. Whoa. Crazy moment.
All jokes aside.
Even though that has become a bit of a, you know, some of our other colored sisters are like, yeah, we can't be saying the word Black no more, but we'll come back to that in a second.
Wait, what?
You know how there's that hesitation around like non-Black folk
yeah.
in how to term people? I think there was this whole palaver on social media where somebody had said, oh, okay, this Black man, and she was white, and everyone's like, how dare you call him a Black man?
Okay.
Just a man. It's like,
but he's a Black man. And if that was relevant to the conversation.
If that was relevant to the conversation. But anyways... We are two Black women that are the founders of a global sisterhood.
Yes.
We are also two Black Christians yes. that are founders of this sisterhood movement. Some would look at us and think, where's my place in this sisterhood?
Yeah,
because
both the
founders seem to be quite similar in that respect.
Yeah.
And even the terms around sisterhood, this idea of community, this idea of referring to somebody that's a close friend as a sister. Is something that is traditionally associated with Black communities, specifically Black women. What are your thoughts on creating spaces for other quote unquote sisters, other races, other religions within a sisterhood? And what do you think are some of the challenges of creating a space for sisters from different backgrounds occupying the same community?
Oh, I love this question. It's so layered. I think I'll start firstly with like the representation aspect, because obviously, like you said, as shocking as it is, we're actually Black.
You know the bit, no, but you know what? It might be shocking to folks that have never seen us before.
Listen, but I feel like I kind of sound.
Do you think we sound? I was about to ask. Do you think that we sound Black? What does sound Black mean?
I'm not trying to be cancelled.
I know, can you imagine?
Could become
and then we'll share the clip online and be like, receipts.
Maybe actually we sound like neutral people. We sound transparent. Anyway.
What does neutral sound like?
We sound transparent. Don't push me.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So anyway, what I would say with that is oftentimes, and this is something I have found as a content creator in general, oftentimes when people come across content from Black people, they assume that it's only for Black people. And I find it so interesting because when we were growing up and we saw all these white presenters on TV, there was never a thought process that this is only for white people.
Never.
Do you get what
us.
I mean? Or at least in the mainstream, that's not how producers of content or media thought, I'm going to put a white face there because it's for white people. Do you know what I mean? Like white is just considered the norm, the the palatable. And now that more Black faces are being put in those things of like, no, it's just you're a host and you're a good host or you're whatever, people are like, oh, now it's for Black people. And it's like, no. Why is it that as soon as you make it the face of something, a Black woman, mm. it becomes just for Black women, mm. as if Black women cannot lead something mainstream, mm. or as if Black women or Black people cannot lead something that is for the masses and lead it well? Do you know what I mean? And lead it in a way that is still relatable and serves people really well. And right. I think what we, a challenge that we have often found, and it's not just because we are Black, but also like to my sisters and that sister part being often related to Black women as sisters, which is amazing history, mm-hmm. and very necessary for a community of people who have often been excluded from even women's movements, yeah, and have had to exactly. provide support for each other within sisterhood as a political thing, mm-hmm. specifically for Black women. Mm-hmm. However, it has been limiting in the sense that now white women or white people or non-Black people, mm-hmm. sorry, mm-hmm. feel excluded from that or like they cannot support right. the advancement of sisterhood as a verb. And there's a part in the book where I talk about sisterhood with a big S, and it talks about how like sisterhood politically can actually be a way of thinking in a way that unifies us as people, mm. and helps us to advance politically, because it actually forces you to acknowledge that, yes, we are all different, and our difference when we are trying to engage in sisterhood is something we should approach with empathy, but mm-hmm. more importantly, a listening ear. And it requires you to listen to other people's unique experiences in a way that allows us to move together, not by virtue of being the same,
right.
but by virtue of wanting to actually help each other. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you get what I mean? And I think there's sometimes that resistance from people to engage in sisterhood. It's like, how can I don't want to take up space in your space. It's like, no, I need you to take up a specific kind of space, mm. in my space, mm-hmm. which is being an assistant, being an amplifier, being a provider of resource, being yeah, someone yeah. who listens so we can bring about change, being somebody who is spreading this message and spreading this movement. You actually do have a specific space. This space, your space may not be on the main stage though.
Yep.
Your space may not be on the cover, but it is definitely, you belong here, mm. to play a specific kind of role. Mm-hmm, and it's mm-hmm. not necessarily that this is about non-Black people coming to hear the experiences only of Black women.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
In the to my sisterhood space. But so far over the last 3 years of this podcast, we have been sharing our experience, which has been shaped by our social identity, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in this specific place. And it's the same way people comment and they're like, and I love when people do this, where they're like, okay, obviously we're both Christians, but like, oh, in Islam, we call this this, mm-hmm, or mm-hmm, within mm-hmm. my belief, we call this this, or mm-hmm. in our country, we call this this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we are all living such common experiences, yep. which thread humanity together. Let's not say political or social experiences, but like human experience. Mm-hmm. We're all living something very relatable, and we can all relate to a lot of the things that we talk about here on this podcast. And I love when we give diverse language to those experiences in a way that is localized or specific to a specific race or religion or culture. And it shows that as a global sisterhood, we can all coexist. And the main thing that ties us together is this sisterhood that is a verb, mm-hmm. this sisterhood that is a political action and a political weapon in the best way,
yeah.
which is actually, I want to radically support women, and radically supporting women doesn't necessarily mean agreement. It doesn't mean sameness, but it does mean listening, and it does mean empathy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say about that. How about you?
Absolutely love that. Again, like this whole idea of sisterhood as a verb, right? It's a doing thing,
yeah.
not just, you know, a name, or not just something that we say, oh, this is a cute little community. It's like, no, this is a movement. In 100%. Fact, we need to even stop using the word community when it comes to something like To My Sisters. It's actually a movement, because we are mobilizing yeah. women across yeah. the world. And when we say, you know, global sisterhood, I love the fact that you touched on the fact that it allows us, by embracing so many different women from different walks of life, it allows us to actually be a force yeah. for positive good, because we are taking the accumulation of our shared experiences and pouring them into whichever sisterhood cause that we are speaking to at a particular moment and can support, right? And then also the ideas of having different spaces for different people yeah. at different times, right? It's not a static thing. Sisterhood is something that evolves, and sisterhood is something that is changing in response to the realities realities that many of us are living, yeah. right? Many of us are living lives of deprivation. Many of us are living lives where intersectional identities yeah. makes it difficult for us to actually exist. And it is taking up that space of, whilst I am listening, whilst I am amplifying, I'm allowing you to now take your rightful yeah. space in the mainstream.
Yeah.
And again, I love that, the fact that, you know, folks will see black faces and be like,
I can't get.
I remember.
Do you know how many times, as a content creator, people have come up to me and be like, "Oh my gosh, I love your channel, and my friend also really likes it, but sometimes she doesn't know she can comment because she's white." And it's like, are you okay? No, or like she just doesn't know if she can publicly yeah, support. Yeah, no, yeah. I need the public as support for the that. Advancement of my career. What are you doing?
Do you know how funny that is? Oh man.
But I do think there is something to say on that, which is because of that,
yeah,
oftentimes as black female creators, I'll even speak from just our experience,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
the initial support and the thing that gets us and moves us forward is often from black
100%,
100%. And so even as you see TMS like evolve, and so many people are picking up on us now, and like the likes of very big names are like, oh my gosh, let's do something together. And it's like, okay, yeah, cool, 100%. This sisterhood was built on the back and the support of black women globally, not only black women, but the majority
black women
globally, mm-hmm, who mm-hmm. have decided to make sure our voices and this podcast has been heard and platformed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And for that, we are forever indebted to making sure you get the representation, mm-hmm. the resource, the advocacy that you actually need, and the mm-hmm. investment into your wellness, growth and development. Mm-hmm. And that does look like sometimes, a lot of times, engaging people who do have the resource
100%.
And who have not paid attention to this thing and to us in a very, very long time, and for a very long time, so that we can bring about change which is sustainable mm-hmm. and change which isn't just brought about by us, because mm-hmm. we actually need support. We've been doing a lot of, not we as in two my sisters, we as in black women,
mm-hmm.
have been doing a lot for our communities in our own way. We do a lot for our families. And I think it's time for so many people to help us bring about
yep.
global change for women, global change for black women as mm-hmm. well. But we need other non-black people to also put their hands in their pockets to bring about this change, because we're worth other people's care and we're worth other people's listening ear to our problems. Mm-hmm. And so even as you do see us become more diverse and maybe platformed on mainstream platforms, I also hate that mainstream is associated with diverse, right. but as you do see us, you know, on the mainstream stages and stuff, black women, we're there to really advocate for all of us, but all of us, do you
all
know what I mean?
Of us.
And we can all do that together. Mm-hmm. And I think we can say the same for working class women.
Yeah, yeah.
We can say the same for people who were, you know, raised up. Basically, if you identify with our background, sure, we're doing it for all of us.
Doing it for
but
us,
at the same yeah. time, for the upper class white girl living in Yorkshire who drives a Rolls Royce and her dad is her sponsor, we love that you're a part of the sisterhood. And we hope that, you know, you play a specific role.
Have you seen in the this Beckham? Sisterhood.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, if you're a Victoria Beckham, listening to this, you are a part of this sisterhood,
we
and you play a specific part, which isn't just identifying with our story, but now also thinking, how can I help and 100%. How can I be a part of this movement?
100%. You can bring your tea and your crumpets too. Like,
bring your money. That. Leave the tea and the crumpets. Bring
yeah,
your money.
For the girls,
bring your resources.
In,
oh yeah, 100%. Like I like a good scone.
I love a good scone. Some jam, some fresh yeah. cream, all of that kind of
love
stuff.
It.
Also bring your money. But
bring the cash.
This is also
bring
a space
knowledge,
for you.
Bring your connections.
There you go. Bring everything you got.
But also, like, bring your unique experience. I also don't want to undermine that you also have a story. And I think that's mm-hmm. another beautiful thing. We actually mm-hmm. outlined this at the beginning of the TMS journey, which was, we wanted this to be a space for women's stories, and you'll see that unfold over the next couple,
there you go.
Couple years.
We've got time. I think also with that, it's recognizing the challenge of getting it right
yes.
every time in terms of platforming people
yeah.
because I think there is a temptation that when we start communities that we will always get it right, that by virtue of existing we are going to be platforming the right stories at the right time or the right people or whatever. Just to acknowledge, we know that we have shortcomings, 100%. Even presently in terms of like representation. It's actually very, very
yeah.
difficult, even when you identify with the subaltern or the folks that are in the margins, right? There are certain intersections that we will never
yeah.
be able to speak to. And I think even our awareness of that is part and parcel of the community building process.
Yeah.
I think it's acknowledging that there are certain shoes that we can fill, but we can only go so far. And this is why it's so important to mobilize women from different backgrounds, different walks of life, different intersections, and really actually create kind of community to ensure that these people have those spaces filled, and we do get that representation, and we do break this idea of the mainstream and this association of the mainstream with what has been normative in society for the past like thousands of years or whatever. But thinking about there's the community, the big C community, relationships, the big R, the politics and all that kind of stuff. Thinking about the more intimate settings, thinking about sisterhood with a small s, and thinking about the relationships that we have individually with sisters from all walks of life, thinking about, you know, our white sisters, thinking about our sisters from different religions. I know that it can be quite easy to gravitate towards people that are very much like us.
Naturally. So
for us, we see, you know, oh, black girls, or like, oh, the Christians or whatever. It's easy to gravitate towards 100%. Those folks. How do you go about creating intimacy with women or sisters that are in, you know, a variety of different ways?
Yeah.
Very different to you.
Yeah. The same way you do it with the ones that are same to you, which is you intentionality, creating space. But I think you have to go that step further when there is that diversity, which is now trying to gain understanding. Because what makes it easy with interactions with people who you are like, they can just say one thing and you completely understand, or they can sigh a particular way and you know exactly where that sigh is coming from. There's already that, because of that commonality, there's that understanding. And I think with diversity, sometimes there's not an understanding, which then provokes more conversation, more intentional time, or maybe even, dare I say, some homework, where it's like, wow, you've been through that. Now I need to go and do my research. You know, I remember, and this isn't even just a black and white thing, like generally like hearing about like non-black people's experience with certain things, or even within the black community, hearing so many people's different cultural experience. And now you're going to have to research about like FGM, for example, or you're going to have to research about colorism within Asian culture, or you're going to do more research on like anti-Semitism. And you're kind of like, I don't know a lot about this, you know? And whereas with your friends, there's that kind of, you're kind of an expert in your own history, right? You're an ex, not in your own history, big history, but like history in terms of your own experience. You're an expert in that. But when you don't share that with someone, you do need to pursue some kind of, maybe not expertise, but at least knowledge, so that you're not ignorant. And I do think it's not, the onus isn't just on your friend. It's also on you to take a vested interest in understanding their life, their world, the social issues they're up against, or their just realities. Do you get what I mean? And I think you should do that not only by going away and doing it by yourself, but also just asking more questions and being like, you know what, I don't actually, tell me more about that aspect of your culture. Tell me more about that experience, and really wanting to get to know that person's story. And I think that brings me on to the other thing, where it's like intentionally listen, like really, really ask thought provoking, or like, create an environment, first of all, where people can open up to you, and then actually ask people questions. Like, it may naturally come up, but like as we have conversations as group of friends, I think it's also important to give people room to share their experience, even if it's going to be different. And just be like, oh, like, how did that work for you though? Because you're not black. So how did we have friends in our friendship group who are not black, right? And so we often turn to them and be like, how does this work for you though? Like, and as much as it's sometimes funny and entertaining, because we are aware that and they're also aware that they're not black, they also don't do this really weird thing of like, no, of course I can completely relate. They're I don't relate to that actually. And I think there's that honesty as well. I think you should be honest about your experience. You should be honest about your the truth of your history and your story, and fully embrace that, but also realize that you may have a lot of learning to do, and that's fine. And also, it's good to just give people space to be themselves. Like, just allow people to, don't try change people. Don't bully people as well into like, oh, why do you do things like that? Like, I think the beautiful thing about friendship is, even though we are different, I can still find, I still love you.
I've still found that
I love you as a person. I love having you around. And so as much as that may be weird, or that may be different from me, I'm not going to pull it out of you and make you stop doing that. Actually, it's a part of your uniqueness and I need to embrace that.
100%. Yeah. No, I absolutely love that. You know what it makes me think of? I remember when we were applying for university and we were thinking about, oh, you know, like, we're going to places where there's definitely not going to be a lot of people like us. 100%. But I don't think we had understood the magnitude until we actually got there.
I did.
I will never forget, yo, when I pulled up, the first day that I pulled up with like my family and stuff like that, I looked around and I said,
I was not shocked one bit.
I ain't seen a brown face in about 1,000.
And that's, I went to university genuinely with a bit of sadness in me because I knew that was going to be the reality. And that's why I spent most of my time in my college in my room. Yeah. Like, I don't relate to it. And to be fair, I would not actually recommend
that. Not even a little bit. No.
Highly, highly advise against that, mm-hmm. actually, because it meant mm-hmm. that I didn't develop that diversity mm-hmm. and the benefit you can get from that diversity.
100.
But I actually, I still empathize with Courtney.
No, but it was 18-year-old Courtney. It was a hard time to be thrown from, you know,
a predominantly black
predominantly
school.
If not almost, I would say 95% there was like maybe 90.
It's like 70%.
Really?
Yes.
You can see who we was hanging out with when we was at school. It was just black.
These black people.
Black girls.
And then you go home to a black family.
Bruh. And then you go to a black church.
There you
black
go.
This,
do you get
that.
What I mean?
And then you go to university and all white.
But also, whitey.
Don't even, that song, no whitey. Guys. Because if you're black, nothing for you. But if you're white, there's something for you.
Literally, that was our university experience.
Do you remember the chorus? Sorry, the chorus. In this world, with black, what is it?
I don't know.
White is right and black is wrong.
What a mess, man. But like, it's so true. I remember like, it's not even just about being around black people. Mm. It's black people from North London. It's 100%. Black people who are majority Christian. Exactly. It's black people who are from working class backgrounds. Yeah, yeah. Like, we then got to university and even the black people that were there were also diverse. Mm-hmm, and it was like, mm-hmm. wow, you black, but you went to private school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
Different.
Very different. You know, you're black, but you come from a millionaire
you're
family.
You're still going skiing, mate.
Do you get what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's that's also a level of diversity where it's mm-hmm, like, adjustments.
And then going to, you know, women's communities and it's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Annie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rachel.
Yeah. And again, like, there's so many elements of diversity.
100%.
Like, learning about sexuality and mm-hmm, the diversity mm-hmm. and that, like, a lot of us, it's not just that we're around the same race or the same, we're around the same political opinion,
exactly.
we're around the same
exactly.
cultural experience, we're around the same way of thinking. And then when you're in a space where it's like so much diversity,
so
there's also diversity of thought mm-hmm. and experience. And it's like, oh, there's a lot to learn here. It's a big world now.
It's, and you know what? It is. It really does expand your thinking, obviously, a change of your perspective, all that kind of stuff. But I think it adds just so much richness to your life when you actually 100%. Make, when you actually create those relationships. I often think of, so when I went to Harvard, I shared an accommodation with a babe called Emma. Hi, Emma.
Hey,
I hope you're doing
Emma.
Well. She's actually, actually such a babe. And when I say Emma was like opposite to me in every single regard, Emma's also white.
Yeah,
I'm sure that she wouldn't feel offended with me telling everybody that she's white. You know, from the deep south. Like, we just had very, very divergent experiences. And I remember when I first met her, like, we hit it off like that. Yeah. And I remember when she actually first moved in, she came with her mother. I spoke to her mother, me and her mother, we were having a really good old chin wag. She was telling me about, you know, their life and their history and all that kind of stuff. I was telling her about the UK and all that good stuff. And I was just like, you wouldn't think that our backgrounds were so different the way that we hit it off. And just in terms of having such a positive relationship, we would often go to school together. We would do like midnight Target runs. I really miss those taquitos, mind you. And just having somebody that was, again, almost the American, like, white girl that you would see on the televisions. I'm like, this is literally one of my best friends last time at Harvard. So, so different. Yeah. And yet there were so many commonalities, so many similarities. And the love that we had for each other was like, she was like 100. One of my rocks / lifelines in the 100. States.
It reminds me of Naomi, like one of my friends from uni. I literally just got back from staying with her in Singapore, but she's Thai. Mm-hmm. And like, also, very similarly, I'm so shocked that we're this close. And I think there's just that, again, there's just that realness and rawness where it's like, you don't have to be exactly like me, but there's certain things that lie deep in a person that you just connect with. That it's like, you my friend, man. That's my homie. That is my sister.
Yeah, that's my sister. Yeah. For real. Don't speak bad about her.
For real. But I do also think there's something to be said about the negative experiences, because as much as we can say, like, there is beauty and diversity and stuff like that.
Right.
Sometimes other people are not as receptive to you. Do you get what I mean? And that can also be a really big challenging thing. Yeah, and I think it's worth talking about that, especially in the area of feminism, because so many women will be like, yeah, I'm just here to support all women. But actually, they have greater priorities than gender equality, which is fine because everyone has their own political priorities. But like, they don't like non-white women or non-black women or non-Asian women. And it's like, I'm for the advancement of my specific group, the ones that I like. And it's like, okay, fine, you do that, because we don't have to force sisterhood. And that's another thing I hate personally, where it's like sisterhood, because it's so mainstream nowadays, especially in a commercial way, it's like, no, we all get on, let's have a professional sisterhood.
Don't co-opt and it's sisterhood like, now.
No, because you don't support this aspect of me. And that's the thing, it's like, you can't take a part of me, you can't just take my womanhood and like that.
100%.
You have to embrace me and my full identity and the complexities of that, and the things that even make you uncomfortable because you don't yet understand them. But you are going to have to do the challenging word if you want to claim this title of, this is a sisterhood, or I'm all for supporting women. Okay, support all of me as a black woman or a black gay woman or an Asian atheist, disabled, whatever it is, like whatever unique intersection you find yourself at, support all of me.
Honestly and truly. And I think the first port of call for a sister is to love.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people forget that. Even when we think about, I think of like religious diversity, right? Like, our first mandate as Christians is actually to love people. Like, it's not like if you feel like it, or if you are, you know, our like genuine mandate as believers is to love God and love his people. Yeah. That's all his people. Yeah. And I think sometimes we can allow our political identities or sometimes our religious identities or religious culture dictate how much we can be a sister to other people that may fall outside of that remit. And it's such a shame, because there's so many beautiful interactions. Exactly. There's so many different things that you can support people with just by virtue of loving them.
Yeah. And the thing is, support isn't, and I think the reason why people do that, is because they assume that love means agreement.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree. You don't have to agree.
People don't know how to coexist again.
Exactly.
They actually do not know how to coexist again. And it's perfectly fine for somebody to be a complete, like, very, very different. Like, some of my really, really good friends are Muslim.
Yeah.
I love them to death. I think they are fantastic people. Mm-hmm. And that literally has no bearing as to our relationship in terms of me being able to conduct an intimate relationship with them. I'm not thinking, oh my gosh, like, I'm coming in with the idea of like them wanting to convert me or like whatever, we're coming in with these agendas. No. The first agenda when it comes to sisterhood is love.
Yeah.
Point blank, simple. Yeah. In this sisterhood community, the first thing that you got to do is love. And I love that you were bringing up the more negative elements of diversity. Yeah. And sometimes when we do bandy about together and co-opt other people's struggles when we find it suitable for us. So especially when it comes to things like race, we've seen it in the wider, you know, society, especially as it pertains to black activism or black circles. We see that co-opting of the activism that we use in order to forward and advance for our people.
Yeah.
But we also see that within female spaces as well, within women's spaces. Suddenly it is certain communities that are doing the labor and not getting recognized for it.
Big time.
Suddenly it is certain communities of women that are actively being undermined, but then when it comes to having the bigger conversations, they're not present at the table.
Undermined, underpaid, undervalued.
And also those, especially women that exist at the point of intersectionalities, we are punished more by systems, even more disproportionately than some of our other sisters. So the fact, again, if you are black and gay, if you are black and woman, if you are, you know, Asian and XYZ, you are penalized by a system. The further and further away you lie from the mainstream.
Yeah.
And it is our duty as sisters, irrespective of where you stand on the spectrum, to pull as many, if you, look, if a sister is like 10 blocks behind away from the mainstream and you're like 3 blocks, you better start getting your running shoes and go back for that sister 100%. And pull her up at least a little bit 100%. Closer. Because I think the temptation is that, right? To take up those spaces or take up more spaces because we're closer to the mainstream and because we're more palatable. It's like, let me take up that space. And it's like, no, actually, your responsibility might be to go back and use your privilege or use your space to pull somebody right back to where they need to
Facts.
Be.
Facts. It's hard. It's hard because it's a lot to do. I know some people will say you can't platform all issues at once, but this isn't about bringing everybody onto your stage. Absolutely. But it is for the people who, because let's not act like we are the only people with the mic. Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not about us bring every person onto our platform because we have a stage. No, everyone has a stage. It's just about amplifying what it is they're already doing and what they're already saying. It's not about co-opting it. It's not about now having to be the leader of it. There are so many women who are leading change for their specific group or the cause that they care about, and so allow them to just be spotlighted, share the attention that's on you 100%. With them at some point. And also it actually doesn't take away anything from you that much. You don't have to be the one leading the conversation on everything. Allow the people who are equipped to lead that conversation to lead it, right? And listen, like, really, I think that's the thing about sisterhood. It's just, can you actually just listen? Like, don't assume that you know, oh, we're both women, so I can totally, you don't understand my perspective.
It's okay too. And it's okay to be curious. It's okay to ask questions. I think even as women, when you do operate at the point of intersection and sometimes it feels as though folks are always interrogating you for your experience, I think there's also a level of openness that we also need to have in terms of allowing people to learn more about us. Of course, this is going to be built on trust and, you know, building the kind of relationship where you feel comfortable enough to do that.
Yeah.
But I think there's a certain level of openness that is required for all parties involved in order to really advance. And I think we won't get anywhere until we start being a little bit more open and transparent across the full spectrum of sisterhood in order to be true to that title of sister.
I completely agree.
Like,
with that.
I think as much as it is so tempting, and sis, this is not to say that you haven't experienced things, that you've not been done wrong by the system, and you know, people 100%. Have not been racist or phobic of whatever you are, phobic of whatever you are. This is not to deny or invalidate those experiences, but it is to encourage you that within the confines of at least this sisterhood, what we want to build and encourage people to do is to feel comfortable and safe enough and know that this is a safe space where difference will actually be celebrated, and that even though you know, operate or you exist at the point of an intersection in this community, we can bring you to the main stage and you should feel comfortable occupying space, whether it's a monologue, a duologue, ensemble, you will have space on this particular stage that we call sisterhood.
Yeah, well, at least we'll try our
best. We'll try our best, maybe.
We won't always get it right. And there was something I did want to say on that quickly, which is, I think that works beautifully, especially on an interpersonal level, and definitely prepare to be open if you're trying to create, you know, intimate personal relationships. However, on a wider level, especially on a corporate level, that openness, you gonna need to pay for that.
Yeah, get money for that, baby.
You gonna need to pay for that. Mm-hmm. You will actually need to pay for that. I think there's sometimes people will shy away. We just want to learn. We want to. Okay,
they love it. The lunch.
Pay for it. Like, pay for that, because why should we be doing a lot of that work for free when there is resources there for that diversity to be invested into? Continually, not necessarily talking about your trauma, but continually trying to educate people, continually talking about your experiences can be very draining, number one. And number two, you're not owed it. You're actually not owed it. As much as we all want to make the world a better place, you're not owed my vulnerability. You're not owed my transparency. 100%. Even if it is going to help you become better, pay for it. Do you get what I mean? Like, and so if you are trying to learn on a more corporate level, I'd say, get ready to shell out money.
And this is why you also need other sisters from other races, because there is a disparity in how much you will be paid. Exactly. And it is good to cross-reference, especially with those that are closer to the mainstream to see if you are being undercut. Sisters, we know that we have barely scratched the surface with this kind of conversation. You know, there are so many intricacies when it comes to diversity, celebrating diversity, the challenges around interracial, interfaith, interwhatever, intersex, sexuality, everything. We would love to hear your thoughts. Diverse sisters, we welcome your thoughts and opinions, respectfully, of course. What are your thoughts around having interfaith into everything relationships. Drop them like it's hot in the YouTube comments. And of course, you can follow us all over on social media. Follow this global sisterhood at To My Sisterhood on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, all the places, all the platforms. We are across them all and you can find us. And of course, come and follow our glowing and growing journeys individually. The lovely lady to the left of me, my best friend, Miss at Courtney. Which is her handle is actually at CD Boate. Her handle is at CD Boate. Don't beat me. I've said it enough times on this podcast. You guys know where to find her. And if you lost her, and also her name is Courtney. Her name is not Daniela. People have been calling her Daniela. It's Courtney. Daniela's her middle name. Love. Thank you. God bless you. And come follow me at Renee Kapiki.
We love to see it. And make sure that you're signed up to our mailing list. You can sign up on our website, www.tomysisters.com, and we will send you weekly glowing and growing tips and love letters to your inbox.
Oh, so romantic. We are literally the most romantic and platonic.
We try and we succeed.
But sisters, we also hope that you succeed in this upcoming week. We are sending you so much love, and as always, keep glowing and growing.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.